Well, so tell me then. So you get up to Stowe, you bought this property, so you're settling in, getting your, how old were your two oldest children at the
time?
Three and two, so they're pretty little.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about family life in a minute. But just since we're on the topic of career, so then Tro, when you got up here, what was your plan in terms, I mean, I know that it was 1960 when you were sort of, I think that's when Alex Nemec convinced you or talked to you about this possible.
Well, I think Alec, I'd known Alec off and on in New York and taken him out to lunch and things. But, and he worked for the Spanish equivalent of Time magazine, Vision, I think it was called. And was familiar with the business. I guess we must have talked to Alec someplace earlier than when we first moved up here, but it was, we knew that there was a, Alec said we had, there was a local newspaper, the so-called newspaper. It was a, I think a 6-page mimeograph, sheet, which you've probably seen framed at the office, and they were trying to sell it, and there were three or four of us at this cocktail party, and we ended up buying the thing. I think we bought it for $500, at least that's what people seem to remember. We each kicked in a piece of it. This was with Russell Spring, Bob Borden, Mary Borden. Was there anybody else?
I think
that was pretty much it. They were all ski instructors at that point, and I was sort of trying to become one in those days. And that was our original group, and we each took sort of turns in running the paper. Russell, I know, had it for a while, and Alec was certainly the spearhead of all of this, because he thought it'd be nice to have a newspaper in Vermont, and still, but he already had a house here, as did Russell and other people, and the Borden certainly had a lovely place here.
Was it a weekly at that time?
Oh, it was a weekly, yes. And anyway, when, as I said, we took the turn sort of running it. I guess Alec ran it for a while, and it never made much money, and we always had various problems. So there was two ladies. I can't even think of the name. Martha Ball and the other one had owned it, but once it came under our ownership, we had a woman who was the police chief's wife, lived out by the tennis club now, who agreed to print it on her mimeograph machine, which she kept in the basement, and she did all kinds of things.
She did all the work.
Yeah, I mean, and she probably wrote everything and did everything, and that went on for a couple of years. Alec at one point hired ran an ad in something in New York and hired somebody from the New Yorker to come be our editor, and he lasted about I'm not sure he even lasted 6 months in Vermont. He was not in tune with the community. And I guess it was about 1965 that I had acquired via selling ads to the company enough of the stock to buy out the others. And so I took over, and I guess one of the first things we did was to sell the press and for an anchor or something. And then we bought new machinery, and this was all borrowed money, and it was a little trepidation that we bought this stuff. And I remember the salesman from some company in Burlington saying, last 90% of people buying these things go out of business in a year. Well, we somehow survived, and then we kept updating, and we ended up with a beautiful looking thing. I never knew any of the technology involved. We bought something about the size of a refrigerator that had, but with no covers on, just blinking lights, all sort of transistors. It looks like your little board there with blinking lights, and all kinds of wonderful things. And I guess one of your earlier questions would be, well, how did you learn to use it? Well, I've hired people who are a lot smarter than I was who did learn how to use it and could read instructions. And they, that was Linda Adams and later Sporty Bell and others, that came in. And, so we started setting type in those days, as it was called. We first started with a adjuster writer, which was a very noisy contraption. When we were in the, we started in the Shaw building, and we were on the third floor, I think, with this adjuster writer, and we'd get sort of humorous complaints from David Stackpole, who was the first lawyer in town and had the bottom floor, and then he combined with Tom Amadon, and they would come up during lunchtime, and we would have a little chat about all kinds of things, and so that was the beginning.
But now you were in the old shoe before the Shaw building.
Where's the old shoe?
No, I think we were the other way around. The old shoe was a little house which may still exist behind, I don't know what the name of it
is
now.
Across from the bank. It was Bill and Connie Bull lived in that house, and there was a building behind it.
Oh, yes.
It may still be there, I'm not sure. But maybe you're right. We did start in the old Shaw building. Is that right?
No, in the old shoe.
Oh, the old shoe. We still, which was Connie Bull's and Bill Bull's house.
Across from the barber shop, correct? Is it?
Yes.
In that neighborhood, yes.
But they ran a little,
like a B&B or something, right? Yeah.
And that was the building that Tro moved into.
I see. Okay.
Well, then when did,
Then you moved to the Shaw building.
Marilyn DeWeese, incidentally, who still lives in Stowe, worked for me almost from the very beginning as a bookkeeper and general, everything. We needed all around people.
Yeah.
She worked for us in, I guess she also worked for Berkeley Bennett when she was in the Shaw building. That came a little bit later. We were on the third floor there. Now, where were we?
Connie's building was one floor.
I think we moved there after.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm not sure which came first then. that could be checked on by Marilyn DeWeese. I always needed people around me that could remember things, which I never could.
So what was your role then? I mean, as you then took ownership, what were you?
I could call myself anything I wanted to. Owner, publisher, editor, and take her out of the trash. I mean, it was an all-purpose. I don't know what I was.
What would you say your day-to-day involvement was? Were you, I mean, in
the first people? I guess the first people we hired actually were the ski instructor and his wife.
No, her name was Ann. I don't remember his name.
I should remember his name, and you should really find that out, or I should find that out, because I hate to not to know things like that. We have pictures of him actually with this adjuster writer hauling out yards of tape. It produced punch tape, I forget why we parted business. I think we had a little row, and I guess I ended up winning it, and they departed. And I think he then went into the army at that point.